The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are those who believe in the cross and in the resurrection saved forever? What needs to be believed? What is the heart of the matter here? Thank you, friend, for joining us today on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know more about us, and you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. We have many resources there, many articles that have been written, and you can find out about our conferences and our online seminary. Look us up at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Okay, Philippe, you got another question there. Who's it from?
This question is from Jonathan. So the question is, when I believe Jesus paid for my sins apart from works, God didn't actually give me everlasting life.
He didn't.
Right, he didn't. And then he goes on to say, it was only when I believed the record. And by the record, he refers to what he means by the record, which is, you know, passages such as John 20:31 and John 11, 1 John 5:11.
And I think he mentioned John 5:24 also.
Yeah, 5:24. And so he says, my understanding that I now have eternal life because that's what God says. You know, I have eternal life.
That's the record.
That's the record.
Okay, so all those verses you mentioned, they all say that the one who believes in him has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Or they'll be resurrected. I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, etc. So you got all these promises.
Yes.
But what he's saying is, early on, and I think that's the beginning of the question,
he was taught
a kind of work salvation.
Two types of salvation he was taught. The one is, I must turn from all my sin to be saved from hell.
Okay, so that was the first way. But then someone else came along and taught him a different way.
And the second way is based on 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and says all you need to do is to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. And so you believe that Jesus took away my sin.
And when you believe that,
you have everlasting life.
Even if you don't believe you have everlasting life.
Right.
Even if you believe you have temporary life.
Yes.
Okay. And he actually says that he had people that talked to him about this, and I believe they used the wallet illustration, which I've heard many times before, and it can be used in a very correct way. The correct way to use it, I think, is to take out your wallet and hold it up and go, this wallet represents all of mankind. The sins of the whole world, everyone from Adam and Eve to the last person, all our sins are represented by my wallet. You got it? All the deeds of darkness we've all done, you've done, I've done, everybody's done, all right here. And Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he took this wallet and he took it out of the way. Our sin barrier has been removed.
The sin barrier is no longer the issue. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world.
John 1:29. So now sin is no longer the issue. This doesn't mean we're forgiven, by the way. That's a separate issue. But it does mean our sins are no longer a barrier. The wallet has been taken out of the way. And so now the only issue is we need to believe in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting life, which is where Jonathan went.
That says the record says, do you believe in Jesus for everlasting life? You have everlasting life.
And by the way, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 doesn't say that. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. And then it goes on to talk about his post-resurrection appearances. 1 Corinthians 15:1-11 is all about sanctification, not justification.
That's addressed to believers.
Right.
And why they need to stand on for sanctification.
They say you need to hold fast to this in order to remain saved. Right. And the salvation is a present tense salvation, which is talking about being spiritually healthy or sanctified. And so 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 doesn't say that everybody who believes Jesus died and rose again is born again. If that were true, then every Roman Catholic would be born again. Every Orthodox would be born again. Every Mormon would be born again. Every Jehovah's Witness would be born again. Almost everybody in Christianity would be born again. Now, wait a minute. I've heard people say, well, no, Roman Catholics don't really believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Mormons don't really believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. These other people don't really believe it. And then they get into what they mean. And ultimately, if they're going to be consistent, what they say is you don't really believe it unless you believe that you're saved by grace through faith apart from works and that the salvation is forever. Well, if you hold that view, then you're saying what Jonathan says.
That's just John 5:24.
You believe John 5:24. And so I would agree that 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, if a person believes that and they're an unbeliever, it should lead them to become a believer. And by the way, he talks earlier, we didn't get into it, about the crossless gospel controversy, which bothered him.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Back in about 2008, this controversy came up where people were criticizing Zane Hodges and Grace Evangelical Society, and they said we were preaching a crossless gospel. Because what we were saying is that the bullseye is what he calls the record, the promise of eternal life. The bullseye is not the death and resurrection of Jesus. Believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus should get me to believe in the bullseye. But believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus doesn't save anybody. You've got to believe this. And so some people called that a crossless gospel. Well, it wasn't a crossless gospel. Nobody can be saved apart from the atoning work of Christ. But what a person needs to believe is the record, the promise of everlasting life. And until a person believes that, belief in the deity of Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ, his burial, his resurrection, none of that is going to save a person unless they believe the promise of John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 11:25 to 27 or 1 John 5:9 through 13, which I think is what he's calling the record or the testimony of God.
He puts it well, and he has his conclusions well. Can the death and resurrection is a sign fulfilled, again, according to the greatest sign in the Gospel of John, but to get us to where we just can believe the promise of everlasting life.
Yeah, now let me share how this is different, depending on how you take it. Years ago, about 2013, I think it was, at our national conference, a leading theologian from what's now called Flexible Free Grace, he wanted to meet with me and my board. So we did, over at the Riley Center at Southwestern Baptist, where we're having our conference, he met with us. And one of the things he said is that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and if we believe in it, then it counts for us. And so my response in front of him and my board is, that's limited atonement. In other words, Christ didn't die for everybody. He only died for those people who will believe in it. And he said, no, no, that's unlimited atonement. That's what I was taught at Dallas Seminary. My point is, it doesn't matter whether you were taught that at Dallas Seminary or at Calvin College or wherever you were taught it. That's a limited atonement, because either Christ died for the sins of the whole world, or he only died for the sins of people who are going to believe in him. What ultimately he's saying is it was sufficient for all, but only efficient for those who believe. Well, that's Calvinism.
And the outcome is a limited atonement.
Right. So what we need to be able to tell people is sin isn't the issue anymore. That's why you don't have to turn from your sins. That's why you don't have to clean up your life. That's why it's not of works, because Jesus did all the work. Songs aren't scripture, but I like the one, he paid it all to him I owe. He did it all. His work on the cross was finished. If what Jonathan is saying is, look, the finished work of Christ got him to believe the promise of John 5:24, amen, amen, amen. And it did for me too. And it did for all of us who have believed the promise of everlasting life. But it's a mistake to tell your children or your neighbor or your friends, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again, then you're born again. You have eternal life. Because if you say that, you've just lied to them. Because if they believe, okay, I've now started the Christian life by faith, and I'll keep it if I'm faithful, which is, of course, what many Calvinists today will say. You know, there's initial salvation. We talked in the last show about initial and final salvation. John Piper, Tom Schreiner, Ardell Kennedy. A lot of people talk that way. But they all believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again, right?
Yes, they all believe that Jesus is God. They all believe in the Trinity and the Incarnation, everything.
So it's possible to believe lots of correct things and not believe the promise of everlasting life.
And the record is, it's simply believing the promise of everlasting life.
And by the way, I should mention the wallet illustration that Jonathan talks about is very popular in Florida Bible College circles. I've heard that used many times by people who've graduated from Florida Bible College. And as long as it's used in conjunction with the record, the promise of eternal life, it's extremely effective. There's a book called The Dora Lake Experience by Yankee Arnold. Yankee talks about how he went to Dora Lake, Minnesota, and he was preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that night, Sunday night, he was talking to the men because he had told them, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, you're saved forever and can never lose it. And they were arguing with him. No, that's not true. You have to keep the commandments. You have to be obedient. And he showed them from Scripture that eternal security is true, and that's when they were born again. The interesting thing is, Yankee Arnold likes to use the wallet illustration. And his Dora Lake Experience book shows that a person is not born again when they believe Jesus died and rose again, but when they believe that because he died and rose again, if I believe his promise of everlasting life, then I'm born again. That's true for any of us. We need to believe the promise of everlasting life. So I love Jonathan's question. Don't you think it's really the heart of the matter?
Yes, and that's what sets him at ease, and those other views disturbed him.
And by the way, I've spoken in a lot of Florida Bible College churches. I've spoken at the New Florida Bible College, and back in 1990, I taught at Florida Bible College when it was in Kissimmee. I have very high regards for Florida Bible College, and I would just encourage all Florida Bible College grads to make sure they keep grace in focus by focusing on the promise of eternal life, which is what all the Florida Bible College grads I know do.
The promise is based on the work of Christ, but it is believing the promise.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks so much, and remember, keep grace.
Grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, were Old Testament believers empowered by the Holy Spirit? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.